And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Nerdy Notions with Sasha Kaplan.
Hello, everyone. Hopefully you all enjoyed our bit on Iron Man. And today we are covering the next phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Phase 1, The Incredible Hulk.
So I'm going to go in here now and I'm going to fix the grammar of what you just said. We are going to go into the next installment of Phase 1, which is The Incredible Hulk. Young lady, you better put that tongue away. I don't know where it's been. This has just gone downhill so fast, so quickly.
All right, so we're going to start with Michael, my producer, giving his rendition of the abridged version of The Incredible Hulk. And then we'll get to my
6,000 pages of notes.
Not 6,000. We're like 5 or 6.
Are we going to go over the Sentai?
No, you're not. We're not going to talk about, we're also not going to talk about the original Hulk movie, the 70s TV show, except to mention cameos, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So we are going to talk about the Sentai then?
No.
Okay. So ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever listened to Power Dorks, which Sasha will be on this Saturday, we are now going to be doing my favorite part of the episode, which in my mind is your favorite part of the episode too, the abridged version of the film of The Incredible Hulk, which starts off with Banner subjecting himself to testing, and then things go down, and damn it, drama ensues, and the hunt begins. Banner is working on his breathing, because why not? I like getting slapped around by guys, too, while I'm practicing my breathing techniques. Let's do it. And sometimes you just, like I just said, you got to get slapped around. And then, you know, off the work he goes. And then, oh no, he cut himself. But man, panic ensues, and no worry, he was able to clean up the mess. Or did he? Man, that guy is going to get some kick in his drink. Banner destroys a flower for science. And then all the tests fail. The hunt is on for Banner because, well, that guy who got a kick in his drink, well, it tipped off the military. And that man just also drank the dog. You son of a bitch. Who does that?
It's only a tranquilizer.
Yeah, but you know what really needs it? My one cat who keeps bouncing around the house repeatedly, like it's on catnip or something. As you look over at your cat, didn't you?
My cat's not here.
Oh, we tried. But then the bullies get involved and uh-oh, you've awakened the beast. Military throws their best at Banner, but he just wants to be left alone. A proposal of bad proportions comes upon us. Meanwhile, Banner is trying to get the date and goes to an old friend for help. Oh, get the data. My bad. Can't read my own handwriting. After much buildup, the lovers are reunited. Yay! But then bad things going down now as they try to replicate Banner's tests. And thus the plan and attack on Banner begins at the school. The journey to meet Mr. Blue begins, and after a test, they get raided. Banner gets caught, and Abomination is born. And now for the epic showdown between the two, which I'm just not even going to go through it because, man, that was a long-ass fight. Banner back on the loose but is at peace, or so we think. And hey, it's Tony, and he has a proposition about a team.
Wow, you just skipped like half the details of the movie for that, but okay.
That's because it's abridged.
There's a bridge and then there's whatever that was. But anyway.
This is everyone's favorite thing in my mind. Don't you mess with that, Sasha.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about biology. There's a DNA intro flashback intertwined, and we see how Banner got turned into the Hulk. Let's see. We get glimpses of Betty and General Ross. It then follows what happens after, with Bruce being in love with Betty to the surprise of no one, but having to go on the run because the general cranky pants and the military going after him. And we see hints that the military wants whatever it was that gave Bruce his powers. The Hulk is the Loch Ness Monster. He is Bigfoot. He is Yeti. He is actually a white whale. Correction, he is General Ross's white whale. Quick nod to Rick Jones, because we can. But the military looks for the Hulk. They can't find him. Where'd Hulk go? 158 days later, doing the metronome in Brazil. He's living a quiet life. He's got a dog. And he's learning Portuguese. He watches the Muppet Show, because he's a dork. Control and a diagram and your chakras and emotions and whatnot. Working 9 to 5 at some generic soda factory, barely getting by.
Hey man, that stuff actually is pretty good. Have you ever had it before? The guarana soda drinks?
That was just a joke, but yes, I have. They are really good.
Yeah.
That was just to be some like off knockoff soda company. but. Let's be real here. He's cheap labor, and he's working for cheap labor, and he's probably making far below minimum wage because, you know, it's Brazil. Or a factory in Brazil. I don't know. Maybe they make money. Who knows? Let's see. Where were we? Little drop of gamma ray. Little drop of horrors. Just a little bit of thy blood to you. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? Actually, I feel like I repeat the line, what could possibly go wrong, in like every other scene in this movie. Banner's really too smart to be a mechanic, but whatever. He fixes stuff. He cuts himself. Some of the blood ends up in one of the bottles, and Banner thinks he got it, but he didn't. And then there's a pretty girl who he fights. He like pulls her away from these sleazy guys. And we get hints of this whole, like, you wouldn't like me when I'm hungry, angry. He can't Portuguese yet. Gosh, Banner, eat a Snickers. Oh, Banner had a friend pick him a flower, so that's where you get the whole Mr. Blue thing. You know what? I'm just going to get to the funny bits here at this point. So he's got an online friend named Mr. Blue who sends him a plant. It is not a hemp plant, but funny enough, this is the only movie we've ever seen him do chemistry in. Or botany. Biology? All of the above. Stanley's got, this is where the Stanley cameo comes in, and he's got like the gamma ray reaction, and that tips the military off to where he is. Let's see, covert military men approaching, chase parkour scene, his heart rate, oh no, once his heart reaches 1.21 gigawatts, we're dead. And then, of course, you know, he runs into the sleaze guys again. He fights the sleaze guys, or they punch him repeatedly. Oh, my God. I did not realize how many actual notes there are here.
And you said I didn't do too much.
I mean, I didn't realize. Like, looking back, this movie was so mad that, like, all right. So, let's see. Ross's friend, the vampire from Midnight Texas, has his connection to this Russian guy who's totes raised in England. Hence this very weird faded accent. That's Blonsky. He's important-ish. So there's a promise of a cure for Mr. Blue, but the military's hot on the trail. Let's see. So the military starts shooting at Banner once he transforms into the Hulk and basically kills the sleazy guys. That doesn't really work. The Hulk is bulletproof.
Well, they weren't really shooting him with bullets. They're shooting with tranks. And the tranks,
but that's not really shown very well in the movie.
No, it is, because when they're all laying on the ground and then you see the Hulk step, you see all the tranks.
In that scene,
and also when they fall and hit the ground, bullets would make a more distinct like clunk sound, whereas those were making more like glasses were falling because they were tranquilizer darts. So they did make a distinction.
In the beginning, yes. In the scene at the university was iffy.
That's a different story. I will agree with that.
All right, Hulk, the bulletproof man, and we're only 24 minutes into the movie. But I love how they just, like, keep shooting at him, even though it's clearly not working. Like, damn, it's not time to think of a different plan yet. But basically, the Hulk gets away. Blonsky and the Kevlar gang search through Banner's things, find a picture of Betty. Russ is very cranky that he has a picture of Betty in there. Blonsky doesn't get the Hulk is Banner thing at first, and then, General's not a man of exposition, and then he becomes a man of exposition. Well, Banner's, like, hitchhiking to America, basically. So, this is just basically summary of the movie, and I'll just make jokes as we go along, because otherwise you're not going to get a word in. So, Ross starts telling Blonsky about the serum, about the story of how Banner became the Hulk. And basically everything begins with World War II. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, in case it wasn't obvious. So they're trying to basically create a race of super soldiers. Yes. Ross finally decides to give us some exposition and says that Ross restarted the super soldier project. And
without Banner knowing.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. So Banner is brought in because he can science. And Banner thought he was working on a serum to resist radiation and decided, in a very Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde-esque way, to test it on himself. And I guess Banner doesn't really remember what was in the cocktail, or he does. That's really not explained, since he can't really replicate it, but he also can't cure himself. And Ross, as always, is not a man that learns from his mistakes. So he wants to recreate things, and Blonsky's totally on board.
I'm sorry, what are mistakes again?
Exactly. So somehow, Banner manages to hitchhike from Guatemala to... So he went from Brazil to Guatemala as the Hulk. Then from Guatemala, he somehow managed to make it to Virginia. Don't ask me how. And he's wearing
different physics. Clothes.
And he's basically walking around and totally stalking people of totally not UVA Virginia University. Either that or it's Virginia Tech, and the school has metal detectors. That was weird. I've never seen metal detectors at a university.
Well, given how when I was in college, the whole Virginia Tech thing happened.
All right, so we'll go with Virginia Tech then. So yeah, basically Banner spent the next like 5 minutes stalking Betty.
It's so adorable.
Oh my God, true love. I mean, at least he's, you know, following a random ex-girlfriend instead of a random co-ed. That's totally better. But seriously, he wears like a baseball cap and he's leering and he totally doesn't look like a creeper or anything. And there he sees her sitting there across the quad. She don't know you're there, but there's something just odd here. And you don't know why, but you know you're dying. You're a creep, my boy. And that is Banner. So then Banner goes to see his friend, who is like pizza owner dude. It's called Stanley's. And the owner seems to know him because reasons, and gives him sage old advice as white men do in a movie. White old men, I don't know.
So real quick, because you're talking about colleges.
Mm-hmm.
University of Toronto. The first action sequence was shot at Culver University, which was and then the battle, which was filmed at the University of Toronto.
Interesting.
At Morningside Park.
It's a very pretty campus.
So, yeah, they didn't do... I mean, story-wise, yeah, they went to Virginia, which when we get to Winter Soldier, we'll actually talk about D.C.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Because it's not really D.C.
It is and it isn't.
No, it was all filmed in Cleveland.
No, it wasn't.
Most of it was.
Nope. So most of it, parts of it were actually filmed in D.C.
Well, I know some was, but the majority, they even said it in the production stuff that the majority was actually filmed in Cleveland, not in...
Oh, yeah. Like I said, not all of it, but yeah.
I mean, you got to film certain things in DC, you know? Mm,
yep. let's see. So basically Banner sees that Betty has a boy now. So that means he's not allowed to talk to her. But basically there's like the scene where they're reunited at the pizzeria, the attendant, because there's epic love and it's kumbaya. And literally the second he shows up, she like totally forgets her boyfriend. Which, like, he had no personality anyway. But
I mean, it's just the guy from Modern Family anyways.
Yeah, but he does do something that is very fitting of... He does something better than the generic boyfriend role. Because first, he's the one that tips off the military that Banner's in Virginia. But then he basically tells Ross that, like, if you think locking up her ex-boyfriend is going to make her love you, you're wrong.
And no wonder she doesn't like talking about you.
Seriously. And so Betty or Banner spends the night at Betty's house, and it's like they were waiting to cue some like lovely like background love music, you know, where the two lovers are in separate bedrooms, but they're longing for each other. That is what that felt like.
Sure.
But anyway, there's a flash drive that has all of the research that Banner needs, and Betty gives it to him. And then the next day, she's going to take him to, like, the bus station so he can go meet with Mr. Blue, as one does. And then that's when the military shows up. And, you know, I have a note here about that. What was it?
So wait, do we know for a fact that the boyfriend actually tipped off the military? Yes.
When Ross is meeting with the boyfriend, he says, like, thanks for the tip or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right, he did.
So let's see, kudos to the military for being on point in their search for Banner while also destroying university property without any regard for silly things like civilian safety or, you know, university property. But there's
it's like, okay, we'll eventually get the Avengers assistant fund.
So yeah, they wreck the university, they get the Hulk to come out, Banner swallows the flash drive. And, like, I like the fact that when he transforms into the Hulk in these, like, two early scenes in the movie, we don't actually see it. Like, in the first time he transforms into the Hulk at the factory, it's, like, this dark hand and it's all in the shadows. And then the second time it's at the university amid smoke and then you just see the hand. But either way, Betty fights a tank and Betty wins because Ross is afraid of his daughter. Like, you can't convince me otherwise. Ross is afraid of Betty. And he's like, now can you see what a terrible and evil creature the Hulk is? And she's like, nothing would have happened if you had left him alone. And then Betty tries to go to the Hulk because Banner's like trapped in this glass walkway, which I hope was not actually damaged in the filming of this movie because it was really pretty. And there's the nice image of like the Hulk transforming. But before that, Betty's tackled to the ground by one of the soldiers to keep her from getting, and that's the trigger point. So basically, anytime Betty gets hurt, the Hulk shows up. And
yeah, I like that because, like, I was gonna put it in my abridged version, but the thing, it didn't fit with how I was writing it, and because it was like, Hulk saw that, Hulk pissed. Like you don't touch my woman like that.
I mean, that's pretty much what it was. But I love the fact that, like, the next morning, before all of this happens, Banner looks like a letter carrier. As he, like, and, like, she fixes his, like, outfit and everything so that he, I guess, doesn't look like a postal worker. But then, of course, he goes postal. So maybe that was a joke. Let's see. So in the fight, Banner protects Betty from this massive helicopter, and then he basically kills Blonsky, like just smacks him into a tree, which is hilarious.
Blonsky's like, what you gonna do? Bring it. I know you can do more.
Meanwhile, Blonsky's being injected with God knows what. Probably the same thing they end up using on Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. No, it's probably, maybe, it could be.
We don't know, honestly.
Ross be Hydra? Please tell me Ross is Hydra. Ross would be Hydra.
No, if he was Hydra, they would have taken him down at the end of Winter Soldier.
I know, and then he somehow becomes Secretary of State. Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves by, like, two phases. So, Banner... And I apologize for sounding nasally. I'm getting over a very bad cold. But Banner and Betty go to a park, which I think I wrote down what park it was. I think it was like Cedar. It was a very pretty park. I really liked it. I thought it looked pretty. And Betty's all like, oh, you're not really evil. Banner, you're inside. And then they fall asleep. And then the Hulk transforms back into Banner. And then they go to a motel. And, let's just say there's just, he just
awkwardness. Can't get it up. Well, no. It's not that he can't get it up. It's that he won't let himself let it up.
Oh, he just can't get it up.
Let's put it like this. He is giving himself his own erectile dysfunction because of his heart rate.
It was something like Smoky Mountain National Forest. That's where it was. It looks really pretty. So Blonsky's barely alive, but yet somehow all of the shenanigans that have been pumped into him have, like, given him a healing factor. So maybe this is the same stuff they used on Wolverine. I don't know.
Wolverine was born with his thing.
It's debatable with the healing factor. He does have a healing factor, but...
The healing factor came before the antimatium.
I know. Stop nitpicking. I'm just making jokes. Oh, also, this is a fun note. The entire fight between Hulk and the military is recorded on a not-quite-yet smartphone.
Because smartphone.
Not quite yet smartphone. This is like those HTC things before like smartphones.
Yeah, that was like, what was it? The movie came out in 2008, June of 2008. So yeah, around that time is around the time the iPhone had just been out maybe a year at that point.
Like, and this guy definitely didn't have an iPhone.
No.
Anyway. So I guess there's also this like female military agent person that I'm pretty sure works for S.H.I.E.L.D. Like she just kind of there doing her S.H.I.E.L.D.y things as the military continues to look for Banner. This is literally Captain Ahab, which I think is what the actor who played Ross actually believed for the character, that he's Captain Ahab. So my white whale joke is on point.
Ba-dum tish.
Let's see. So they go to New York, and there's this really fun scene where they get into a taxi, and the driver is psychotic, as one is in New York. And so as soon as they get out of the taxi, Betty loses it on this guy and, like, freaks out. And she's like, if she could have transformed into the Hulk, she would have been the Hulk by now. And Banner's just calm, collected. He goes, would you like me to teach you some breathing techniques?
Oh, shut up.
So they go see this generic doctor man, Dr. Stearns, who is indeed Mr. Blue, and they do an experiment, and they cure Banner, but they don't cure Banner. It's never well explained. And then Dr. Stearns has some weird ideas where he, like, wants to use Banner's blood to help cure diseases, which I'm not sure how he could do that, but okay. And Banner's all like, no, we have to destroy it because we can't have more of me running around. Even though if you look at comics, there are a lot of more of him running around. Gray Hulk, Red Hulks, Red She-Hulk, She-Hulk. Mm. Although, on the other hand, now that we know what's coming in the future of MCU, this is foreshadowing to She-Hulk. I don't know. So the military shows up again. And Blonsky basically meets with Stearns, and he's like, I want what you gave him. Like, whatever, use it on me. And somehow the combination of whatever Ross's people gave him and these guys gave him turns Ross into a very weird version of the Abomination.
You mean Blonsky into the Abomination?
Yeah. Well, it's a very weird version of Abomination in terms of character design. There's a reason for this. The primary reason being that I guess the director of the show, whose name I have written down here, he wanted the Abomination to look like an actual abomination and not just like a weird green lizard thing. Which, valid, but that doesn't mean comic book fans like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So the next 20 minutes of our lives is wasted on a very drawn out fight between Hulk and the Abomination, and Blonsky is like, there's some bad guy quips, and the Hulk is like, Hulk smash. But Blonsky's killed or something.
I guess.
And Banner's line in the Avengers is technically incorrect. Because in the Avengers, he says, I kind of wrecked Harlem. And it was mostly Blonsky. Like, don't get me wrong, Hulk smashed a few more things. But, like, Blonsky started the ball rolling.
But that was just his whole thing, though. He was there. He was part of it.
So, but, like, the weird thing is like, did the cure work? Did it not work? Did it, like, suppress the Hulk for 20 more minutes until some epic trigger thing happened? Like, him falling
kind of dropping out of the helicopter and just falling flat into the concrete would help.
Yeah. I guess. Hulk defeats Abomination. Ross prevents the military from shooting the Hulk. Hulk gives Ross Abomination. Things we'll never see again. And the final scene is, of course, Ross sitting in a bar a couple months later, licking his wounds. And who shows up but Tony Stark?
We got a team. Let's talk about it. Or we're trying to build a team. Let's talk about it.
And then we're not going to go build a team, and then you're not worth building the team. And then I find it weird that this scene is not really brought up in Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess stranger things have happened. So, in case our reactions are not quite as energetic as they were in the last one, this movie's kind of...
I kind of disagree. I do enjoy this Hulk movie.
Don't get me wrong. There's things to enjoy about it.
I especially loved Edward Norton as Bruce Banner.
That I did.
Yeah, like, I really like Edward Norton as an actor. And I really think if Marvel Studios had just left it alone and gave him the writer credit, because he did help write the script for the film, I think Mark Ruffalo would never have been Bruce Banner the Hulk. It would have just been Edward Norton the entire time.
Well, because originally, this is another movie that, like, went through a lot of different changes, because Zach Penn, the guy who technically wrote the original script they based the movie off of, had it as, like, a semi-standalone story, but also wrote it as a sequel.
It was supposed to be a sequel to the 2004 movie, and it was going to be about Grey Hulk.
2003, yeah. There was a lot of different changes there. So Louis Leterrier actually wanted to direct Iron Man, but when John Favreau stood up to direct Iron Man, Leterrier was given the Hulk. And the weird thing is, though, that the original script by Penn was actually written in, like, 96 or something. And this is the part that annoys me, because this is why I think Edward Norton's script should have been adapted. Edward Norton had written his own full version of the script, which had Doc Samson in it.
Yeah, well, not only that, but the other thing is that elements of his script was used in this film.
I know, because, you know, he still wrote parts of it and rewrote the dialogue and done all that, but we could have had Doc Samson.
Yeah.
My comic nerd wanted it. But oh well.
Maybe in a future Hulk movie.
Yeah, that'll happen. So Penn's script actually had it very similar to the, or at least his intention was to have it more similar to the TV show. And Lou Ferrigno, of course, has a cameo in this movie, still plays a security guard. This time he gets to eat pizza.
I think that's all he's good for. Because nobody can understand what the hell he says.
It's really not that hard. You just have to pay attention.
Good job, brother. Come on now. You also had a cameo of what was supposed to be Amadeus Chow. He was the nerd in the lab.
Amadeus Cho?
Yeah, Cho. He was the nerd with the pizza that let Banner use the computer lab.
That's who that's supposed to be?
Yep. And then that actor ended up becoming the teacher in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, God, that's traumatizing. That would have been the worst Amadeus Cho in the history of
ever. So real quick, for those of you who are listening to this, Sasha literally had her jaw hit the floor when I told her that. But also, just a little foreshadowing, a little moving ahead to Age of Ultron real quick. The female doctor, Dr. Cho, that is supposed to be a link to Amadeus.
Well, that I did know.
Yeah. So, like, they in Incredible Hulk, Ultron, they've been kind of foreshadowing the fact that this character could be coming. So.
And yet he's still not here.
Yet. No, he became a teacher. A really bad one at that in Spider-Man.
He was pretty bad. I don't know. I don't think that's the same. I don't think he plays the same character, though.
He doesn't play the same character. It's just one of those things where they brought him back to play a different character, just like with Kenneth Choi.
Kenneth Choi?
Yeah. He played, you remember he played the Asian guy in Captain America's
Then he
essentially plays his grandson in...
I mean, how many times do you get to play your own grandson? That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so he got to play his grandson in Spider-Man Homecoming. So that was pretty cool.
So yeah, this is also one of those movies that like went through a bunch of rewrites. And I don't get... So I guess the reason that Ed didn't get the recognition as the writer was because the story in and of itself wasn't his. He just rewrote scenes and dialogue. And I guess rewrites don't count as script writing, according to the Screen Actors Guild or some nonsense.
I don't know. But
this is frustrating.
No.
So let's talk about just the individual characters and their motivations and kind of the acting. I guess we should probably start with Betty.
Liv Tyler.
She's okay, but like she's kind of boring.
But come on, she has the best dad scream out of everybody.
I mean, this is like this movie could really be retitled that like something like My Daughter's Boyfriend Hunt or something, because essentially the entire thing is Ross is trying to stalk and arrest his daughter's ex-boyfriend. Like that's really it. I wish we could have seen her do some science instead of just sitting awkwardly on top of Edward Norton. Just, I don't know, there could have been more, and, like, she was, for some reason, they had her very, like, subdued as a character. I feel like that she could have been doing more, or at least acting more, and I don't think that was her fault. I think it was just the script called for her to be very, like, one-toned.
That happens.
It does. The only actor of this bunch who we will ever see again is, of course,
William Hurt.
William Hurt, who plays...
General Ross.
Jack Ross, yep.
Who then later becomes Secretary of State somehow.
I question the sanity of that president.
Well, he dealt with Tony before, so why not?
Anyway, Tony dealt with him.
Yeah, that's also true.
Edward Norton does a really good job of playing a person who is in a very unfortunate position in life. It's very different from the 2003 Hulk, which had, I'm going to look it up real quick.
Wasn't it Eric Bana?
Yeah. And I gotta say, Eric Bana is a terrible actor in my opinion. I watched the 2003 Hulk, and that's like the second movie I've seen with him, and he was bland and unemotional in both of those movies. Sam Elliott, I think, was an interesting choice from the 2003 to play play Ross. William Hurt did a great job, but I know Sam Elliott was interested in reprising his role as Ross, but because the movie was going in such a different direction, they decided not to do it. So not much to be done in that regard.
Yeah. And then you have Tim Roth, who played Blonsky.
Tim Roth is an excellent actor. If you have not seen his show, Lie to Me, highly recommend. Great show.
Well, not only that, but you can also see him in Pulp Fiction. No, not Pulp Fiction. Yeah. He's in Pulp Fiction. Yeah. He's the one with, Bunny, he's part of the couple that holds up the breakfast.
I'll be honest, I have not seen that movie in like a century.
He's also in Reservoir Dogs, where he's Mr. Orange. obviously, both Quentin Tarantino movies. So, like, he's a really good actor, especially, like, what you just said, Lie to Me. And then you look at the IMDb, the credits for Edward Norton and William Hurt at the same time, too. Like, if you actually look at it, when you look at Iron Man, which came out 2 months before, or a month before, and then Incredible Hulk, look at the casting. Which one had the better, which one had the more star-studded cast?
I'm going to guess that.
In 2008. It's Incredible Hulk. Because you have Edward Norton, you know, Fight Club, Illusionist, you know, all the other things that he's done, Tim Roth, the Tarantino films, the other stuff that he's done, Liv Tyler, Armageddon, you know, the fact that she's Steven Tyler's daughter from Aerosmith, you know, and she also did a lot of other films that were really good too. William Hurt has had like had a massive career leading up to that point. So like, you just look at the top four that are billed, you know, they were pretty... So yeah, so when you look at the cast, the top four that are being billed, they're accomplished up to that point. And then you look at Iron Man, you have Robert Downey Jr., who is an accomplished actor but had many issues off camera, you know, in real life that derailed his career. Gwyneth Paltrow wasn't that big of a name at that time.
Well, hold on. This was after Shakespeare in Love, wasn't it? So she was like an Oscar nominated.
Yeah, but everything else up to that point. And then you had Jeff Bridges. So you had, who was an accomplished actor who didn't have any problems, you know, of anything. So like, when you look at it from, here's your main cast for Iron Man, here's your main cast for Incredible Hulk. Incredible Hulk actually had the better cast.
Fair.
But as time went on, everyone from the Incredible Hulk, except for William Hurt, got cast off to the side. Bruce Banner got recasted. And everyone from...
And everybody never heard from Betty Ross again.
And then everyone from Iron Man, with the exception of Terrence Howard, who got replaced by Don Cheadle, moved on all the way up to Avengers Endgame.
Well, except, you know... died.
Well, no, up to Avengers Endgame.
No, I mean, I'm not talking about...
You're talking about Jeff Bridges' character?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not referring to more his character, because we really don't see the villains come back all that often.
This is true.
But, like, for the main characters, like, the Rhodey, Tony, Pepper, those three you knew were going to move on, moving forward.
And, like... Tony's like look is so iconic, and I think like Iron Man was like, we knew Hulk could be successful at that point, and Iron Man was really kind of a risk. We talked about that last episode, but I think what really this, not to talk too much about Iron Man, going back to the Incredible Hulk, this movie is okay. It's kind of, I would call it the forgotten MCU movie very easily.
It really is the forgotten MCU movie.
Because, like, aside from Ross reappearing or that one crack Mark Ruffalo's Banner makes about wrecking Harlem, there's nothing that tie it in.
Not true. I was actually thinking about this.
I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D., but...
I was actually thinking about this. Thor Ragnarok. Remember when Banner jumps out of the plane to fight the dog and he lands on the Rainbow Bridge?
Yeah.
That was pretty much homage to the Incredible Hulk, because he jumped out of the helicopter and went right through the sidewalk, and then eventually he came out as the Hulk, whereas in Thor Ragnarok...
I would say that's coincidence more than anything, because Taika Waititi was very adamant that like he pretty much ignored everything.
Yeah. But if you look closely at it, it's pretty much similar.
You're similar right. Scenarios. It's very true. Unintentional tie-in to the MCU.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, this movie has a good cast and the writing is okay, but like, it just, it doesn't balance well. There's like little bit of action, quiet time, little bit of action, quiet time. And then we get like all the action. It's like Batman versus Superman. Actually, no, I take that back. This is better written than Batman versus Superman, but that's not really saying much. I think this, I don't know, compared to like what we see in Thor and in Captain America, this was just kind of like, eh, it's there. It's like a half sequel, but not really sequel. It's like, I don't know how to categorize this movie. Like, it was okay, but this is the only movie, and like, I've rewatched other movies before, but this is the only MCU film where I just kept hitting the skip button during the fight scene.
Let's be honest. What this movie was an introduction of the Hulk to the MCU, which is essentially what all Phase 1 is, with the exception of Iron Man 2. Well, actually, no, Iron Man 2 you can use as an introductory, because that's where it really brought in Nick Fury, really brought in Black Widow. Yeah, so, and it also really brought in, you know, War Machine in the early phases of the character. So, so Iron Man 2 was even an introductory phase, even though War Machine would not be used in the Avengers.
Yep.
So, like, every movie in the first phase was essentially just an introduction to lead up to Avengers, and then they can move on and do everything else. But not only that, but apparently there is also a deal with Universal, because Universal owns the rights to the Incredible Hulk for film.
Is that still a thing, or is this one of
those
things?
That is still a thing. And per the agreement was that apparently after how Incredible Hulk performed, they agreed to let the character remain in the MCU, but it cannot be the main character. So if you notice in Avengers, Age of Ultron, Thor Ragnarok, Infinity War, Endgame, he's there, but he's not the main character. The main character is Tony, or it's Steve Rogers, or it's Thor.
That, honestly, I'm okay with that. I don't think...
He plays more of the supporting role than being... But even though he has, like, probably one of the better... I mean, when Mark Ruffalo comes in and it moves on throughout the years, he does have one of the better story arcs of the Avengers.
True.
Still not the main story arc, and that was because Universal was like, we don't want him. We don't want it. We essentially don't want to do any more Hulk movies.
But we also don't want Marvel to do any Hulk movies either.
Yeah.
Granted, I'm okay with that, but I would really like to, at the very least, know what happened to Betty. Because, like, she has to be...
She got dusted, and then when they brought everyone back, she got dusted again.
No, forget the dusting.
No.
And yes, I see what you did there. But, like, there is... With the way that they televised the Battle of New York, you think that, like, even in her teeny-weeny little office at the University of What's-Its-Name, she would have noticed and been like, oh my god, Banner's alive?
Yeah, I don't think we're ever going to know, because they kind of, even though it's still technically an official part of the MCU, it's the untalked about part of the MCU.
It's the, like, this is the part of the MCU we use when it's convenient for us to use.
Yeah.
And I'm more or less okay with that. But
it does explain, like, if at the end of the movie where you see Edward Norton's Banner in the forest, and you know, you see him, and it's like days since incident or something like that. And it has like the number of days, and it goes down to zero, and his eye is green, but he's not turning into the Hulk. Like, that is explained in Avengers. Because
very poorly, but yes.
Because Banner just goes, "You want to know my secret? I'm always angry." And then he turns into the Hulk to take out that big monster thing.
The Chitauri.
Yeah. Well, is that big monster thing a Chitauri itself?
Yeah.
Or is that the actual warriors?
So there's the warriors, and then there's their, like, ship thing, which is like a living being, but not a living being. It's still technically part of the Chitauri, so, like...
Okay. We'll give it that. But that's the thing. They do, in a way, tie in that last scene with that line in Avengers. So there is that little tie-in, albeit not the best way, but it's there.
Yeah, there's an understatement. No, but like it's okay. Like I don't think this is anybody's favorite MCU film. If it is, okay, I'm happy for you.
Let's put it like this. When we get to Phase 2 and we get the Thor Dark World, this is probably better than Thor Dark World.
Until, oh my god, I can't wait to make fun of Thor Dark World.
Until Endgame happened and redeemed the film, in a way.
Only for the sake of having an Infinity Stone. It's just Infinity War bait.
Hey, it's clickbait.
But yeah, no, it's fine as a movie. I wasn't particularly wowed by it the first time I saw it. I'm still not particularly wowed by it. And unlike Iron Man, it's not really a movie that I want to rewatch over and over again.
So I saw this in theaters when it came out. I enjoyed it then, but yet again, I'm also the type of person who will, when I go to the movies, I do this thing called turning off my phone. Yeah, you know what that is, right? You hit the power button, you turn it off. Holy cow, what a concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I also do this thing called turning my brain off and just letting the movie do it, take a life of its own and just kind of take it in for what it is. So, like, for me at that point, I enjoyed it. You know, when I went for the watch through, I actually did it yesterday before we did this recording. You know, for me, it was just like, all right, yeah, I like the movie. I don't hate the movie. I can watch the movie anytime I want when I go for the MCU and I do like my little, hey, I can watch it.
Hating a movie takes a lot of effort. Like, a movie truly has to be bad for me to say, like, oh my God, this is like the worst movie ever. But I don't know. It's just like, if it's on TV and I have nothing else to watch, sure, I'll put it on as background noise, but it's just okay. Like, yeah. If I had to give it like a great grade letter, it'd probably be like a B-.
Yeah, so.
You tried, you gave it an effort, it's watchable.
Yeah, and then one thing, we talked about this beforehand. You know, we're not going to talk about every single Stan Lee cameo on every single episode because certain cameos don't do anything for the story. Like in the first two Iron Mans, what Stan Lee does nothing for the story. It's just a cameo. That's it. But
in Iron Man 2, it's like,
yeah, exactly. And it was kind of the same thing with Iron Man. But for Incredible Hulk, though, his cameo actually helped the storyline.
True.
You know, because he was the one who got the drink that had Banner's blood on it.
Now we know why he stayed alive so long.
Yeah. So that was able to help tip off Ross of where Banner was. So in regards to a cameo, it's actually one of the smart cameos that they did. So...
fair.
Storyline-wise.
Storyline-wise, it was funny. It was good. It makes sense. And let's talk a little bit about some of the Easter eggs. When you're in Ross's office, you can kind of see very subtle images of, like, a Captain America-esque figure in the frame when he's sitting. All this talk about a super soldier serum. I'm sure you understand that this is now leading us to what we're going to be talking about in 2 weeks, which is, of course, Iron Man 2. But no, it is hinting at a Captain America movie. I don't think it's as blatant as it is in Iron Man 2. But it's very subtle. Granted, although, you know, the talk about the super soldier serum, you can't get any more obvious than that if you tried.
Yeah. After missing my eighth bot call of the day, they've been going since 9 o'clock this morning.
You're just so special, they can't help it.
No, it's great. You know, it's the day after Labor Day. All the little bastards go back to school. Everyone goes back to work. So I guess they have to go back to work, which is why I have 8 missed phone calls on my phone, and they're all bots and spam calls.
How do you know for sure they're bots, though?
Because I have a spam filter on my phone. So it actually filters all the phone calls for me.
Oh, that's cool.
So, like, if I don't know, and also if it's any number that I don't recognize or any name that I don't recognize, I don't pick up the phone.
All right, so final notes about The Incredible Hulk. And this time, I looked up that information, Michael.
Hooray.
So the budget for this movie was $150 million. The box office was $263.4 million with a running time of 112 minutes.
No, it's an hour 50. Oh, you said 112. It's 1 hour, 52 minutes and 20 seconds to be precise. And it got an IMDb score of 6.7.
Which to me is a little high. I wouldn't rate it above a 5.5, but to each their own. You didn't happen to get the Rotten Tomatoes, did you?
No, I never do Rotten Tomatoes. I just pull up whatever's on IMDb.
Fair, but for the sake of specificity, it has a 67% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Which is like a 6.7% out of 10 on IMDb. So it's like, okay, it's about the same.
I guess in terms of like early 2000s generic like superhero-esque movie, it's okay.
Yeah. Quick notes before we go to social medias, because I'm looking at the calendar real quick. Hockey season's about to start. Whether or not Evgeny Kuznetsov is going to be on the Capitals opening night roster is one thing.
That dumbass.
Kids don't do drugs. You and I will talk about it off air. One thing of note is that the next recording session that we have, which will be Iron Man 2, is September 17th, which I'll also probably be recording something else because apparently Alex Ovechkin has his own serial called OVOs coming out the same day. So I might be giving myself pancreatitis that day, just doing episodes of trying stuff.
Ovi needs a hobby.
Actually, the money's proceeds of it actually is going to fighting childhood cancer.
That's
so
nice.
So it's actually going to a good cause. So while I will be making fun of the cereal and then bringing up Honey Nut Cheerios right behind it, it is for a good cause because it is something that Ovi, it's one of the charities Ovi donates to. So the 17th, we're going to be doing Iron Man 2. Then that's when it gets a little hairy because the next recording session is actually my birthday.
Well, happy almost birthday.
I kind of don't want to record on my birthday. If that's
that okay. Is 100% valid.
So we might record on the 24th and then release it on my birthday.
That's fine. If you want Thor to be your birthday recording, it can be your birthday recording. Or your birthday posting.
Yeah. But then after that, we're probably going to bounce around a little bit. October 15th, we'll definitely do our regular recording. The 29th, I think I'll just be coming back from DerpyCon. So it's like I'm kind of like booked a little bit. So we may so after the October 15th episode, we may actually not come back until November 5th.
So, which is fine because my work will be getting crazier and crazier.
Yeah. So just to give people a heads up, also Capitals games will dictate things as well for us because I have to cover the games for TXHD, which is this lovely website that this podcast is on. And ironically, on the 29th, the Caps are also playing the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, go me.
You have fun with that.
Yeah, but so we're definitely going to be recording on the 17th, Iron Man 2. We'll be recording on the 24th and releasing on October 1st, Thor. And then we'll be recording Captain America on October 15th. And then maybe we can – oh, God. That's going to be brutal. Maybe on October 23rd, which is my bar mitzvah anniversary. 20 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I know. It's awkward as hell. It's just a shame the Caps aren't playing the Coyotes that day. Because that's who the Capitals played 20 years ago on October 23rd, 1999. So maybe we can record on the 23rd.
Well, point being that once we figure out a schedule, we will let y'all know on the social medias.
Yeah, but we'll definitely be back on October 5th or November 5th, which will actually be our break in between phases, because my goal is to hopefully have Avengers done in October. So when we go into November, we can use November as our break from the MCU, and then December we go back to the MCU.
That works for me, if that works for you.
Hi, I'm producer Mike. This is the crap that I do. So, Sasha.
Yes?
I'm going to tell everyone where they can find me on the social medias, and you can go right after me.
Okay.
Because it is your show, so you should be going live.
Really?
Hi, I'm producer Mike. How are you? Nice to meet you. Handshake. So you can follow me on Twitter at @TheLindenBaum75, Facebook.com/X75Productions. I'm trying to do better with Instagram.
No, he's not.
Actually, you haven't seen my Instagram the last 2 days, have you?
You don't go on Instagram. I just have an Instagram. But you can still find me on Instagram as well.
Yeah, I'm at @TheMichaelX75, where I'm actually posting whenever something new goes up on the website. So you'll see a lot of hockey. You'll see the Nerdy Notions logo get thrown up there with the little description thing or the post that we put up on Twitter and Facebook for it. So that's the Michael X75 for Instagram. And then for everything else, TXHT, X75 Productions, including this podcast, go to txhthockey.com/nerdy-notions. Now, Sasha, take it away.
All right. So you can find me on my semi-active Instagram called Geeky Captain. And, of course, on Tumblr, the dreaded Tumblr, the incredible Tumblr, the terrifying Tumblr at geekgirl101.tumblr.com. And if you have any particular thoughts on the Incredible Hulk, on Iron Man, or on Iron Man 2, or the entirety of Phase 1, please, please, please fill my inbox with comments or comment at the bottom of this lovely podcast. Thank you very much, and we'll catch you next time.